Hi, I'm Ira Lipson. Welcome to The Beatles, The Days in Their Life. Music. It's defined as a significant arrangement of sounds, conceived as an expression of beauty, the communication of an idea, and sometimes as an instrument of social change. The 1960s produced many changes in tastes, in styles, and in social attitudes. It was a period of artistic upheaval and inspired work. Some people, either through luck or circumstance, became the catalysts. And one of the strongest forces that came out of the 60s was a musical group from Liverpool, England, called
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Can't buy me love.
Every few months, a musical group comes along and is promoted as the New Beatles. It hasn't worked. Never in the history of popular music has there been a force like the Beatles. Their magic is such that people want to know all about their music and how each song was conceived, written, and performed. So, in this series on the Beatles, we'll follow all of their recorded work using original British pressings in chronological order from their release dates. Here is the most complete radio program ever done on the Beatles.
Tell me why you cry.
You'll relive Beatlemania.
But I think the whole bit really started when we did a Palladium show. And then later, we were asked to do the Royal Variety, and we met the Queen Mother, and she started clapping.
And Princess Margaret, too.
Yeah, and Princess Margaret.
Well, I don't know, but I should imagine we'd do She Loves You.
Jolly good. Jolly good.
For the people in the cheaper seats, clap your hands. And the rest of you, if you just rattle your jewellery.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
When Mrs. Sullivan and I saw hundreds and hundreds of youngsters, I asked what celebrity was arriving. And they told us the teenagers were awaiting the Beatles.
Going over at that particular moment for those two Ed Sullivan shows could not have been more right.
It's mass hypnosis, Jack. As soon as they do something, the Beatles, anything, you notice how the reaction is?
They're skinny little guys. You can't weigh 130 pounds.
I want a Beatle for Christmas.
Happening, babe? The Beatles and Murray the
K. We put the name The Beatles right across the sock because we think that the girls in America are going to want to be associated with them.
We've also asked our listeners to bring all of their Beatles paraphernalia and Beatlemania to the station. We have a big bonfire scheduled for August 19th.
Can you hear the best Beatle hit?
You'll hear the results of hundreds of interviews. You'll hear their voices in every phase of their career.
And we did one talent show thing, which we would call Johnny and the Moondogs, which was really just John standing at the front with no guitar singing, with Paul and I just playing guitars at the back doing ba-ba-ba.
We used to try and get them in to sell beer. And we used to, the minute you saw some, we'd all go, dancing the streets, dancing the streets tonight. And we'd pretend we hadn't seen them and we'd rock out. And you'd find we got three of them in.
Brian Epstein phoned me up and said, would you like to join the Beatles, you know?
And it's me going, cranberry sauce, cranberry sauce. So that's what it says.
Usually, 9 times out of 10, Ringo and I haven't heard of the song before. We get in the studio and just try all different arrangements, and we all stick in a little bit here and there, you know.
You know, these kind of things, you can't really talk about how they come, because they just come into your head.
But Paul McCartney couldn't die without the world knowing it.
I don't know, it just came out. We went to do a job, you know, and we worked all day, and we happened to work all night, and I came out still thinking it was day, I suppose, and said, it's been a hard day. Looked around, it was dark, and said, night.
Yoko was having an art exhibition at a gallery in London, and I used to go to the gallery occasionally to see what was happening.
He's a real nowhere man.
You'll hear from the people who helped make them household names around the world. Their manager, Brian Epstein.
I encouraged them at first to get out of leather jackets and jeans.
Their record producer, George Martin.
I mean, the Beatles were always looking for new sounds. They were always looking to a new horizon.
You'll hear from their friends, the man who taught them how to play guitar, Jim Getty.
I used to teach every Monday night.
in a little shop just along the road in Whitechapel.
Bill Harry, editor of Mersey Beat newspaper.
I encouraged John to write as well, and he had his own column called Beat Coma, with all his what we call wacky writings.
Liz Hughes, one of their original Cavern fans.
You got to the bottom and you were in a basement, a cellar, stone walls, no decor to speak of at all, a very smelly, dingy little place that was always very damp.
You'll hear how each song was written.
Because, for instance, Hey Jude, I told George not to play guitar.
I just opened a book that was around. I just opened it, and the first thing I looked at became the song, and it was something about Gently Weeps.
I mean, I remember on Obladi, for example, Obladi, Oblada, I remember John Paul coming along with this kind of ska thing, and John actually wasn't in the studio, and we got the thing more or less together, and we were having a bit of a difficulty with it, and he comes in, slightly stoned, and says, "What's this rubbish you're doing?" That goes over to the Barrel House piano and says, "All right then, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Back in the US, back in the USS.
Something in the way she moves.
Come together right now.
We hope you'll follow us through the life of one of the most prolific and emulated groups ever. Four musicians who had a dramatic effect on the directions taken by others. A group that inspired and redefined the boundaries of contemporary music. The Beatles.
And in the end.